They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Don't blink.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The way things are moving right now, the financial system may have changed by the time I finish this sentence. Here's the latest development. Last night, the Federal Reserve voted to let Wall Street's last two major investment banks get into commercial banking. That means Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley can take deposits, giving them greater access to capital. I'm sure Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers wish they had that. But that means that Goldman and Morgan will now be regulated by the Fed instead of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Besides that, there haven't been many details about this huge government bailout announced on Friday. We know that it's pegged at $700 billion and that the idea is to buy up bad mortgage debt. But one question that's come up is whether foreign banks will be included. We're joined by our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, what are we hearing?
Well, yes, apparently there has been an agreement that this U.S. bailout will extend to toxic assets involving American mortgages, which are held by foreign banks. However, there's still a considerable amount of doubt on this side of the Atlantic whether this is going to hold up to political scrutiny in the Congress. Are American taxpayers and their representatives going to be entirely happy seeing the U.S. taxpayers bailing out the likes of UBS, Deutsche Bank, and so on, who are very heavily exposed to a lot of this debt?
And what about the governments of the countries where these banks are located? Are there any movements afoot with other governments to do their own bailing out?
Not as yet, although at the weekend, the U.S. Treasury was calling on foreign governments to join in and organize their own bailouts. The UK government, which is clearly the closest in economic policy to the US, has already ruled it out and said it's not going to go down the American route. Clearly, it is concerned about its own yawning budget deficit as a result of the looming recession in the UK.
Another thing that seems to be a sticking point with this plan is how it's going to be paid for. Paulson is calling it a $700 billion plan. That's the amount of toxic debt that needs to be bought up. And it sounds like they're going to do this with treasury bonds. What's the global appetite for $700 billion in treasury bonds?
That is indeed another worry weighing on European markets this morning. The concern about these bonds, and are there really going to be sufficient numbers of institutional investors? And of course, underlying this concern is the much deeper anxiety about what happens next to the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. The events of the last week clearly are going to impose a lot of heavy burdens on the U.S. economy, and the turmoil has hardly reflected well on the U.S. economic model. So if there is a dollar rout, then all bets are off, and we would be heading into very dangerous territory.
Yeah, we'd be going backwards because the dollar had gained value for a while, and of course that affects the price of oil as well. It's going up.
Indeed.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Oil's at about 105 this morning. The stock markets went wild on Friday with record gains all over the place, but things are much more muted this morning. In Asia, the markets did close higher. The Nikkei added 1.5%. European shares are up just a fraction so far. Right now, it looks like Wall Street might open lower. The Dow starts the week at 11,388. Thursday and Friday combined, it gained almost 800 points. Here's something else to ponder. Will this bailout do anything for the housing market? Dan Gretsch looks at that.
Home prices have been in free fall around the country, but many potential buyers have stayed out of the market. Jack McCabe runs McCabe Research, a real estate tracking firm.
There's a lot of people that are anxious and have been waiting to buy, but they wanted to buy at the bottom. And now I think they're going to see that maybe we're getting close and maybe now's the time to get in.
McCabe says a federal bailout of the financial industry is likely to loosen tight credit markets. New buyers will be able to get loans, and current owners will be able to refinance their mortgages at better rates. But McCabe says a government rescue package will come at a hefty price.
It doesn't just go away. We end up ultimately paying for it, and we're going to pay for it to the tune of probably $1 trillion over the next 2 to 3 generations plus interest.
And McCabe says the housing crisis isn't over just yet. In the coming months, we're likely to see a new wave of foreclosures. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by The Economist, every week covering issues that matter around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
For a while, banks were getting a ton of money from the sovereign wealth funds of foreign governments. Remember this? China, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. They saw it as a smart investment. Not anymore. Mitchell Hartman explains.
A year ago, sovereign wealth funds from Abu Dhabi, Singapore, Korea, and China were investing tens of billions from their oil and export profits into distressed U.S. banks and brokerages. That money has all but dried up.
Well, I think it's a case of once bitten, twice shy, really.
That's Jan Randolph, head of sovereign risk at Global Insight in London.
I think nearly everyone's come to the realization that the credit crunch is a lot deeper and going to be a lot more protracted than first thought.
Randolph says these funds aren't confident that new investments in U.S. banks will make money in the short run. They may also be waiting for share prices to hit rock bottom before wading in. So what are sovereign wealth funds doing with their piles of money in the meantime? Randolph says it runs the gamut. They're building infrastructure in the Middle East, boosting agriculture in Africa and South Asia, investing in India and Japan. Abu Dhabi's fund just bought a British soccer team, Manchester City. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.